Hey Swifties, welcome to a brand new episode of Swiftie School, where together we walk Clownelia Street covering the latest news and Easter eggs from our fearless leader, Taylor Swift. I'm your host, Reagan Bailey, and it is enchanting to have you here. Now that we're out of the woods, let's get into today's episode. It's another great day to be alive at the same time as Taylor Swift. Hello, all of my lovers, karma truthers, and everyone in between. How the heck are we? I am so jazzed to introduce today's episode. We are diving into how much does it really cost to attend the Eras Tour and the financial impact of this tour as a whole. Now, you guys have so many questions when it comes to tickets, outfits, bracelets, everything in between, but I want to do a quick touch on where Taylor's at currently. We are in the horrible middle ground land of no Eras Tour, but not to fear, we've got Mexico right around the corner to look forward to. Now, this past weekend, Taylor was spotted, or should I say stalked, in New Jersey. She is currently there for what I believe is it Jack Antonoff's wedding? It's one of her producer's weddings. I want to say it's Jack Antonoff. This scene got absolutely out of control. This scene feels like what I want. Sorry, I had to. If you have not seen the video recap, Taylor was seen in this absolutely adorable Hill House two-piece black little scrunch moment outfit. And if you are a fan of Taylor's outfits, you're a fashion girly pop, head to Taylor Swift Styled on Instagram. She also has a blog/website. She's absolutely fantastic and so fast at reporting on where Taylor's outfits are from and provides direct links, etc. So definitely go support her page if you want to. I digress. She was spotted in New Jersey. She's going to a wedding. This event is not hers, but people posted Taylor's exact location and things absolutely spiraled to the point where it was allegedly reported Taylor and the wedding party and guests had to uproot from this restaurant they were at. I think it was some sort of pre-party or after celebration of the wedding, not totally sure. They actually had to leave this restaurant because there were thousands of fans that all lined up for the hope of grabbing a photo for her, which, listen, I get it. I would lose my marbles and then some if I happened to bump into Taylor Swift on a vacation or at a restaurant, but to completely stalk her is out of control, and then to impede on someone's wedding, of all things, is just really sad. So I'm curious to see if maybe in Mexico she'll touch on it or just report on the fact that, like, hey, please don't do that, even though it's not the Mexico Swifties' fault. But anywho, prior to the events this past weekend, Taylor was also spotted in New York City wearing the most adorable Evermore-esque dress, if you will. It was kind of like a brown, yellowy, mustardy color, got little cap sleeves, midi length. She's been wearing these little braids in her hair, like teeny tiny little braids, kind of on either side of her middle part, and wearing her hair in various braid hairstyles, which has everyone thinking, like, what is she doing? It's very Evermore. Are we finally going to get some love on the Evermore album? Or is she just having a cottagecore moment? Either way, she looked adorable. She was spotted in New York with Ed Sheeran, where this is on the coming off the tail of an interview that he just did recently. A lot of you sent it to me, where he says he was asked, did you do the re-record of Endgame with Taylor for Reputation Taylor's version? And he was very quick to say, absolutely not. We have not recorded it. And he left it at that. I call lies. Come on, you cannot tell me that he, first of all, would be allowed to say, like, yeah, we totally re-recorded it. It's coming out soon. I'm sure he did that on purpose, just to throw a loop. Maybe they haven't re-recorded it. Listen, who knows? But we have heard many rumors that Reputation has been done and is done. So I would not be surprised if he did that just to cover his booty a little bit. Now back to the tour. We're in the final couple days until we have the live stream back. Thank the Lord, I am so ready to have a weekend of fun watching the Eras Tour live stream, which make sure to join my broadcast channel. I always am sure to send you guys the links for the weekend, who's streaming. Tess is always a wonderful resource. I always send her links if she is on it. And Taylor is entering her 18th stop. Can you even believe it? Now, I know that sounds like, oh my gosh, the Eras Tour is ending. We're flying through this. We are flying through it. And 18 might sound like a lot of stops, but if you're in that Eras Tour depression, post-show blues, not to fear. I did a little girl math and I calculated. So we've got 146 shows in total, international, US combined, 146 shows. This is only show 54 out of 146. So all of my math girlies, that is 37% of the way through the tour. We are not even close to halfway. So if that gives you a little glimmer of hope, that is where we are currently at. So Taylor is heading to Foro Sol. I'm sure I'm saying that wrong. Foro Sol is probably a little closer, hopefully. She's heading to Foro Sol Stadium in Mexico. She's got 4 sold out nights. And I wanted to note for you guys, she's actually the first female act to do 4 nights at this location on a single tour. So we love that for our girl. And I really feel like we should soak up Mexico while we can, because we are going to have yet another break until womp, 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 November 17th through the 19th in Brazil. And those are actually the final Eras tour dates that we have for 2023. All right, now that we've got that out of the way, let's get into talking all about the dollar dollar bills, the money, the Eras tour, and all of the financial impact, the true cost to attend as a fan. And I want to give you guys a quick disclaimer of this. None of this info has truly been confirmed by Taylor or her team. So we're kind of doing, like I mentioned, a little girl math, a little guesstimating, if you will, on this impact. But a lot of financial analysts have looked into this. The US government has even acknowledged the financial impact. So I think we have a general idea of where the money is at with this tour and what Taylor has been bringing in and donating, etc. And we are going to dive headfirst right now. Now, like I mentioned, this is obviously, as we know, an expansive tour. We've got 62 shows in the US, 84 international shows, totaling at 146 current total shows for the Eras Tour. If you listen to episode 1, you know that I ended by saying I do have a sneaking suspicion we are going to get a couple more shows, but at this moment in time, we have 146. Now, I had no clue when I was doing the research for this episode that there are so many government officials globally that have actually chimed in and written to Taylor, maybe not to Taylor herself, but to Taylor's team, contacting, saying, hey, please bring the Eras Tour to our country because of the economical impact and boost that it would provide to a lot of these countries, which not only is so just girl boss energy, but freaking crazy that a singular human being out of the bajillions of us on this planet could have that impact. And just thinking back to like 14-year-old Taylor getting roped in with Mr. Bruschetta, Borschetta himself, imagine telling her that this is what her life would be. I mean, bananas.com if you ask me. So speaking on the government officials, I was reading this article. It was on Wikipedia, but it was sourced by Billboard. And Billboard talked all about all of the different government officials that have chimed in. So we have the president of Chile made a request. Hey, Taylor, can you stop in our country? We've got members of the Canadian Parliament who are filing a grievance with the Speaker of the House of Commons saying they were displeased that the Eras Tour snubbed Canada. Like, how iconic is that? Obviously, 1 month later after this, she announced 6 shows in Canada, so Canada's all good. But we've got the mayor of Budapest said, hey, we want to stop in Hungary. We've got Australia officials that were up in arms saying, hey, you're not coming to enough locations in Australia. And some of the other countries included, we've got New Zealand, Thailand, Indonesia, Philippines. Now, speaking of the Philippines, Taylor, sheesh, have you guys seen these videos? Because I was LOLing, literally LOLing, laughing out loud when I saw these videos of, there's a drag queen, their name is Taylor Sheesh, and they are doing Eras Tour recreation shows, like drag shows, in malls all around the Philippines. And I'm literally not exaggerating. Thousands of people are coming to these drag shows. It looks like the Eras Tour Stadium itself. These malls are bustling. You've got to look this up. Google it, look it up on TikTok, Instagram, whatever you use for the socials, because these videos are nuts and truly shows that there would be an extreme amount of demand. If that many people are going to a drag show recreation of the Eras Tour, I can only imagine how many people would actually attend in places like Indonesia, Philippines, etc. Now, getting into the nitty-gritty of this, a lot of financial analysts are referring to this sort of boom and economical impact of the Eras Tour, calling it the T-Swift lift, which is my personal favorite. I think I'm going to use that from now on, the T-Swift lift, or the Taylornomics. We're obviously coming off the tail, but maybe not the tail. We are currently in a recession. We are all poor, but we are never too poor for our Lord and Savior, Taylor herself. Now, depending what age range you are, you might be familiar, or maybe you're just a fan, of Beatlemania in the 1960s. The Beatles were huge. this is really the first time we're seeing this much demand for an artist since then. I also saw this was likened to Michael Jackson, who I don't love talking about, so we're not going to touch further on that. But they're calling it Swift Mania because in the 1960s, this was called Beatle Mania. I want to give you guys some quick notable facts on just the impact financially in some specific cities because these facts literally knocked my socks off. So Chicago saw the highest hotel occupancy rate in their city history. Now, Chicago is not a small city. Like, a lot of people go there for a lot of different things. So the fact that the Eras Tour alone, and I think if I'm not mistaken, she only did two shows there, maybe three. I think it was only two. The fact that they saw the highest hotel occupancy in city history, I can't even wrap my head around that. Now, her stop in Tampa, which I also think was two nights, generated $730,000 just in tax money for the city, which also I can't even wrap my head around. Now, you guys know, if you've been around for a while, I attended opening night in Glendale, Arizona, which maybe I'm not super familiar with Arizona. I don't think this is like a gigantic destination that people are traveling to, but they have hosted the Super Bowl, and Glendale government officials noted that this was more profitable, the Eras Tour was, more profitable for local businesses than when they hosted the Super Bowl itself. So anytime the Super Bowl comes up, we know that Taylor does not need the Super Bowl. The Super Bowl needs Taylor. Mic drop. Now, getting into sort of the philanthropy aspect of the Eras Tour, which I think is kind of my personal favorite because Taylor flies so under the radar when it comes to her philanthropic work and the donations that she makes. Obviously, it became very public knowledge recently that she donated over 55, or maybe not donated, she bonused her staff with over $55 million to everyone who was involved, her crew, her drivers, her dancers, etc. She donated $55 million to them as bonuses, which is absolutely insane. And I would love, 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 and I know many of you would too, in whatever sort of post-tour documentary or series we are going to get, I would love to know how many people are truly involved behind the scenes. But I did want to make a call out because I thought this was really cool. So we know Taylor has her core staff. Obviously, she's got, I think, 50 drivers. She has her dancers, her band, her electricians, her mic people, her sound people, all of that. But she also does a really good job of hiring local businesses to support her during her tour. And I actually have a personal connection that I wanted to share with you guys. So last weekend, I was at a birthday party. There's a woman there. She lives here in LA. She's a part of the entertainment industry. And her company, they rent out huge, big, fancy cameras to tours, TV shows, award shows, whenever they need a lot of equipment and they need it fast. So she said her company was actually in charge of supplying SoFi Stadium with cameras for the Jumbotrons to record during the Eras Tour, for Taylor's team to record whatever the heck they were recording. I think she said that they rented out like 98 of their 100 cameras to the Eras Tour while she was doing her residency in Los Angeles. So I thought that was really cool that not only does Taylor have her core staff, but she's also supporting local businesses. I wouldn't necessarily say they're small businesses, all of them, but she is making an effort to support small businesses wherever she is going on her tour. Now, speaking of sort of that philanthropic aspect, obviously she did bonuses for her entire staff, but she's also made a conscious effort on every single one of her stops on tour. She chooses a food bank organization, and I don't know a ton about sort of the logistics behind this, but I'm going to send you guys in my broadcast channel a link to a fantastic video that I found on TikTok where someone who is involved in sort of this back end of food bank organizations, they said they're not allowed to share specifically what that monetary donation is, but what they are allowed to say is with her donation, we were able to make, you know, 8,000 meals or feed 2,500 families or whatever it was. And they were saying this one donation alone could feed literally thousands of people for months, which I think is so incredibly cool. And what's more cool about it is that she doesn't feel the need to go online or anywhere and boast that she does this. The only reason anybody has any clue that this even happens is because of the impact that she's having on these food banks and them coming out publicly and thanking her, which we love a humble queen. Now let's sort of switch gears and talk about how much fans are spending at the shows. Whether you were one of the lucky ones who was able to score a $75 standing room seat, or you were one of the girly pops on the floor who spent $6,000, no judgment, on your amazing floor seats, people are spending so much money that literally the economy has never seen anything like this before. I have been lucky enough to attend three shows, two of them being at LA recently at SoFi Stadium, and then, like I mentioned, opening night in Glendale, Arizona. So I can speak to kind of travel cost when going somewhere away from your home to the Eras Tour and both the local cost. But I wanted to highlight that business magazine Fortune, they reported that fans are spending an average of $1,300, which at first I was like, is that true? But I did some math, and I also have a video doing a full breakdown of how much I personally spent, and I actually think the math is mathing, so let's get right into that. Obviously, when talking about how much fans are spending, we've got to look at tickets, travel, outfit is a huge component. Obviously, it's not a necessity, but it is something everyone is doing. We're looking at bracelets, accessories, shoes, etc. If we are using that number of $1,300 per fan attending the tour, this means that the Eras Tour could raise $4.6 billion in consumer spending just in the United States alone, which, hello, that's insane. I think we'll probably get some reports now that she's officially wrapped the first US leg on what that impact truly was monetarily, but this is sort of an estimate of where we are landing at $4.6 billion for her first, 53, 54 shows in the US. From this number is where a lot of financial analysts are saying this could consequentially save the United States from a recession alone, which we love that for her. So because it's easiest for me to speak on my personal experience and my personal spending, I want to give you guys a full breakdown and the nitty-gritty of how much I spent personally when traveling to the Eras Tour. But I have to tell you guys, these numbers are a little bit modest in my opinion when it comes to the ticket price and the fees, because I bought my ticket to opening out of the Eras Tour in February. The tour was kicking off in March on St. Patrick's Day. The tickets were relatively cheap. I say cheap comparatively to what they are now. So I was in section 128, lower bowl. My ticket was only $647 before fees. Obviously, when we add fees onto that, it was looking more like $847. But relatively speaking, you cannot find a lower bowl seat listed for anything cheaper than around $1,500 in this day and age. Now, obviously, because I was traveling, we have to include transportation, airfare, and hotel fees, which essentially doubles my overall cost of attending the tour, so please do keep that in mind. But when we were looking at transportation, I actually think this number is not too wild, considering I had to Uber from my home in Los Angeles to the airport to my hotel once I landed in Arizona, the hotel to the stadium, stadium back to hotel, hotel back to airport, airport back to home. So whatever that was, if someone wants to do the math, something like at least six different Uber rides in Arizona totaled me $164.19. Not too shabby if you ask me. I will give you guys a little story time on my transportation nightmare, which literally traumatized me for the rest of my life. I will never take an Uber to or from a stadium ever again. I had absolutely no issue getting to the stadium. It was a total breeze. Me and my Uber driver jammed out. I taught him all about Taylor Swift. We played Shake It Off. It was awesome. We rolled the windows down and I like screamed half the way there. And keep in mind, I went to this concert by myself, so I was really living my best life. I had no fear whatsoever, and I would do it 100 times over. If you're thinking about going alone, maybe I could do an episode on that. But let me tell you about the absolute wild ride that was getting home from the stadium. Now, I was staying, I would say maybe 25 minutes with no traffic from the stadium in kind of like a downtown area in Arizona. So I make my way to what they were calling kind of like the Uber pickup zone or Uber Lyft pickup zone. And I'm standing there amongst maybe, I would say it wasn't too wild, like maybe 200, 300 people. We're all pulling up our phones. It's scheduling rides for us. It looks like we're going to get out of there. The problem was that there was one way in and one way out for like 90% of the people that were in this specific part of the parking lot. So what was happening is we were able to get booked for drivers, but once they realized they were going to be trapped getting in this line that was going to take them like literally an hour to get to us, they would cancel the ride. So I was getting rides, no problem, but then they would cancel once they figured out, oh my gosh, I'm going to be getting paid $22 for 3 hours of my time. So as things start to get desperate, like an hour into this Uber madness, and I start yelling out. I'm like, is anybody going to this area? Because it's a bunch of women. I feel pretty safe. And me and three other girls, I think it was it two or a girl? I don't know. It was literally like 2:30 in the morning. At this point, I was so delirious. I group up with them. We have our 3-4 phones going. And finally, one of us gets like a $200 Uber Black booked. And they finally show up. We have to run to like a completely off ground area, like in a neighborhood street, to flag down this lovely man. At the time, we thought he was lovely. We get in the car And we're all kind of like nodding off, which is so, so bad. I do not recommend doing that. But we were so exhausted emotionally and just physically from this process. I'm sitting in the car with these strangers, Swifties, of course. We're going to this like general same area downtown. And then we notice the girl taps me on the shoulder. She's like, the driver's not going in the right direction. Like the app is literally notifying me that like if this is a safety concern, please click this button. And of course, it's also St. Patrick's Day. The streets are a mess. The man is a Looney Tune. He's literally rolling down the window once we get to the downtown area for strangers who like some guy's like, hey, can you help me pump my tire? He's like, yeah, sure. And he starts to pull over and we're like, no, sir, we're in the middle of an Uber drive. Like, what's going on? So we decide to jump ship. We literally get out of the car and we just like band together and walk the rest of the way back to our hotels. It was madness. It was crazy. But that's my little story time on that. So back to airfare. I paid $335 in airfare. My hotel was $409, which I know seems very high. I did splurge on what I felt was a nicer hotel because I was alone and I wanted to feel very safe on a high floor. You know what I mean? All of that jazz. And for my outfit, I spent around $62. All of that, drumroll please, no judgment zone, for one night attending the Eras Tour opening night, which I think should come with a little bit of grace, was $1,834.65. Now, before you start judging me, this is so cheap compared to now. And I do really think when you're traveling to a show, the price really racks up super quickly. Not even accounting for the food you're going to spend, maybe the gas you're going to spend driving there, all of that. But as you guys know, I think you will support me in this. The investment, just like spelling is fun, the investment is fun. The investment is worth it. The experience itself is priceless. And my takeaway, if you will, is that whether you spent $500, $5,000, I truly hope that your life was changed forevermore at the Eras Tour. Now, as I mentioned in episode one, if you're just tuning in, I am ending every episode with a submission from you guys. It can be an Easter egg, it can be a request for a topic for the next episode, it can be a fan theory, it could be whatever you want. So this one is from Anonymous, and she said, he said, they said, okay, this isn't something super important, but do we think Taylor is going to put on a fake country accent when re-recording Debut? I mean, it just wouldn't be the same without it, right? Anonymous, I could not agree more. And here are my thoughts. It is so campy of her and so necessary for just, we just need a little taste. Give us a little twang. Give us one of those little giggles from a song. Give us just a little something that brings us back to the era that was Debut, because as I mentioned on episode one, she was not born in Nashville. She is not a country girl. Maybe she is at heart, but she was born in Pennsylvania. So I think the accent was developed during her time in Nashville. Obviously, when you're a tween, you are very impressionable. So I'm sure that is where the accent came about. And when she was doing country music in the beginning, I'm sure she was surrounded by a ton of people with the accent. So I get where it came from. And I am personally so here for the accent lore, if you will. I know that the media will roast her for it, but just like the removal of the mattress lyric, if that's any indicator, I'm thinking Taylor, if I'm being realistic about it, might want to stray away from offending anyone, but I'll leave it at, it would be wildly iconic if the accent made a debut for Debut Taylor's version. All right, friends, that is it for now. I truly had the best day with you today, and I will see you on the next one.
Thanks for tuning in to today's episode. I know all too well how busy life can be, and I am so grateful that you chose to stay. Now just know, this is me trying, and I would greatly appreciate if you took a minute to leave a review or maybe share this episode with a fellow Swiftie. Make sure you join my broadcast channel on Instagram for more Swiftivities. And long story short, this love is real, and I'm beyond grateful for your support. See you next time.